So last week we started Tov Reish and Vav. We did the Machaber, and now we're up to the Rama. Let's do a quick review over the Machaber. The Gemara told us that hidden mitzvah, one should splurge up to a shlish, a third of the mitzvah. It means I find an eser. Okay, well, what that means is a big machokas Rashi does. Rashi says I find an eser for 100 shekel. Now, it's still not clear to me, but the pashtus, I assume we're talking about the cheapest kosher eser you could find. It doesn't make sense that whatever I had in mind to buy a mehudadik eser, and now I'm obligated to go spend even more. I didn't ask anyone, but that's just logically, I find an esrog. Let's say the cheapest esrog I can find is for 100 shekel. Obviously, that's not the case nowadays. So, and Chazal is telling me, says Rashi, that you should spend up to 133 shekel, up to a third, in order to buy a mehudar deka esrog. That's Rashi's understanding. The way Rashi formulates it, we're talking about before you actually buy it. We're not talking about coming back to exchange and buy a nicer one. We're talking about beforehand. If that is in fact what how to understand Rashi, the Beis Yosef holds yes. The Gra brings a Yerushalmi that says no. This shita would hold even after you bought the 100 shekel esrog. You should still go try to exchange. You don't have to buy another one. But you should try to exchange it if they'll give you your money back, and up to a third, and buy a nicer. Okay, that's the second shita brought down in the Machaber as a Yesh Misha Omer, which means it's not the Iker Shita of the Machaber, but the Gra holds that the Gra, the Rabba holds that it is the, that is the Pesach. And that's brought down in Bir Halacha, Dibur Ma'aseh B'Tzimtzum. And then Rabbeinu Tam, which is the Iker Shita in the Machaber, hold that we're dealing with a very minimalistic, barely kosher esrog. It's a very limited halacha. It's not every time you go to buy a mitzvah item. It's when you're buying a mitzvah item and you've already bought something that's very flimsy and scrawny and barely kosher. Okay? In the lashon of the Mechaber, the sugya, the shir is betzimtzum. Let's say the shir esrog is a kebetza, you got a betza, kebetza mitzvah. The bir halacha in Dibur HaMaskil, in the first bir halacha, extends it to other mitzvahs, and basically extends to any time there's a machlokes haposkim, even though we paskin that this mitzvah item is kosher, you should spend up to a third more. Now, I was briefly looked at Rav Nemzal's Mishnah Berurah, so let's just read through the Mechaber, which we did last week. Read it again. In Kana Esrog Shoy Lasso B'Tzimtzum. This is Rabbeinu Tam. You bought an Esrog that's it's kosher B'Tzimtzum. It's barely kosher. It's kosher but barely kosher. Kagon Shuk Beitza B'Tzimtzemes. It's exactly a Beitza which is the minimal shear. The Acha Gal Matzah Gal Mimeder. Afterwards, you find the bigger one. Mitzvah Lahos If Ad Shlish. You should add up to a Shlish Minagav on the inside. Meaning 100, you add 33 shekels. So that you can exchange it for a nicer esrog. Yesh misha omer, this is Rashi. Shimote, it's a broader halacha. Anytime you find two esrogim, it goes. Lechad adam yichabero, and one is nicer than the other one. Yikach ahadar, you should buy the nicer one. Yakar is the yosem, yishish minigab, and yichabero. If it's not more than a third more. So, Rav Nemzal wants to say that there are certain cases where this will not apply. This is not across the board. He says it's some very limited application, which doesn't sound exactly like Bir Halacha. But he points out the brisker of Ner Chanukah makes a very interesting point. The Mahajan of Ner Chanukah is always going to be more than a third, because Me'ikra didn't alienate one candle per household. So let's say I just do Sephardi style. One menorah, one chanukiah per family. So every night I'm adding 100% from the Iker Chiyav. The Iker says 100%, 200%, 300%. It's not a third, not 33 and a third percent. It is 100% more each night, up to 800% more. So based on that, the brisker rav, the way I understood it, you can read it yourself. The way I understood what he was saying is, therefore, the hiddur of Ner Chanukah is not a chiyuv, because it's above the one-third rule. Now, Rav Nemzal seemed to take it the other direction, but I didn't read it carefully after. I didn't read it after the brisker. I read it before the brisker. So, Rav Nemzal seemed to say that no, you are obligated to do hit a mitzvah chanuk even though it's more, and he gives this halacha is only like when the shear is the tzimtzum, but there are many exceptions to the rule. Now I have a ha'ara, which I don't know if it's right or wrong, I'm very excited about, and that is, I've taught this Gemara on Shabbos, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, the Chanukah Gemaras. And over the year, when the Gemara, I don't have a Gemara here, but you want to run and get a Gemara Shabbos? When the Gemara discusses Ner Chanukah, the Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Ner Ishu Beisa. Right? The Iker Mitzvah is one candle per household. And then it says, Mitzvah Chanukah near Isha Beisa. V'amahajin near the Kolachad V'chad. One candle for each person. Mahajin mina mahajin, Beis Shammai says 8 to 1, and Beis Hillel says 1 to 8. Then there's Machlokes, Rambam Tosfos, is it for each, is the Mahajin and Hajin going back on Mahajin, going back to near Isha Beisa? The Sephardim only have one Hanukkiah per family, per household, Ashkenazim, like each person basically lies. How does the Rashi explain the word Mahajin? So we're talking here about Mahajin. Mahajin, for Kashas, is Hidra Mitzvah, beautifying the Mitzvah. So I was always confused. Rashi over here says, V'Mahajin Achar HaMitzvahos Osiner Echab Chalayla Kolechab Echab Le'abayis. Rashi does not explain the word hider here as hadar, beauty. He explains it as hadar chazar achar mitzvahs, one who's going after mitzvahs. So why does Rashi do that? That's not the pashut pshat in Mahajan. So perhaps, I don't know if there's any truth to what I'm saying whatsoever, but perhaps it can't be dealing with hider beauty, says Rashi, because hider mitzvahs only up to shlish. This is a different get there. This is Mahajin Achar HaMitzvahs. It's not Hidr Mitzvah beautifying the Mitzvahs. It's those who run after Mitzvahs. That's really a separate gather. I don't know. I made it up. I was very excited because I've been bothered by this Rashi forever. And then when I saw this whole Dion, I got very excited. Okay. Take it or leave it. Okay, so we're back in Tough Rage and above. We were just reviewing what we did last week with a little addition. But basically, we have two opinions in the Machaber, Astam Niyesh Omer. When do you have to add up to a third for the mitzvah? The first opinion holds that only when you're dealing with a barely kosher mitzvah object, then you have to spend up to a third, if it was 100 shekel, up to 133.3, in order to get a more respectable mitzvah object. And Rashi holds that it's broader. Anytime you want to buy something, you should spend up to a third more to get the nicer one. And it's a stam niyesh omer, which usually halacha is stam the first opinion, which severely limits the application of this halacha. But the bir halacha brings down that the gra holds like Rashi. And the rabbi also holds like Rashi, that it's broader, that generally you should spend up to a third more for hinder mitzvah. We just pointed out, the Renemzel points out from the Brisker Rav, that the hiddur, the mahajin of Ner Chanukah, is always more than a third. Because really only one candle per household. So once I'm lighting two candles per household, I just upped it 100%, not 30, up to 30%. So it doesn't fit the rule. I had to understand that, or had to not understand that. That's just what we were saying. Okay, now let's look at the Ramah. This is one of the most inspiring Ramahs in all of Orach Chaim. Says Ramah, Agra. It's also hard to understand what he's saying, and he does the halacha is very, very unclear. The poskim are really I'm like groping in the dark to try to figure out. You know, God forbid, a person is poverty stricken. How much does he have to spend to fulfill a mitzvah? He doesn't have the money. So every now and then we have a halacha, Arbakosos, Hanukkah. He has to beg. He has to go to tzedakah. He has to go door to door. He has to get it. Right, so the Mishaburah and other places have said because of Pursumi Nisa, you know, the sky's the limit. Pursumi Nisa is above all. Well, I think we mentioned Avi Nisa says why. Avi Nisa says that when it comes to Pursumi Nisa, usually you have to do a mitzvah. He has to put up a mitzvah. He has no money from the mitzvah. If he has no money from the mitzvah, he does not need to go back. Everyone agrees. doesn't have to go begging door to door to get money for a mezuzah. He's potter. And that mezuzah is between him and God. And God understands he's potter. But when it comes to pursuing Nisa, the job is to lefarsim the nays, to publicize the miracle. So it doesn't help that I have an excuse. I have an excuse. So what? Lamaisa, the miracle wasn't publicized. So the excuse doesn't help. So therefore, pursuing Nisa mitzvahs are an exception to this rule, and you have to go begging door to door, because you can't say ones rachman apache, because there's a tafis. The tafis is to publicize the miracle. The miracle is not publicized. It doesn't help to have a good excuse. Bottom line, was the miracle publicized? No, that's not acceptable. And therefore you have to go begging door to door. Okay, so let's see how the Ramah formulates this. Misha ain't no esrik. He doesn't have an esrik. Oh, shar mitzvah overis. He doesn't have other mitzvah objects that he needs. Here we're specifically talking about a mitzvah overis. The mitzvah is going to pass. It's becoming sukkis. When sukkis is over, the mitzvah is over. So time is of the essence. He does not need to spend a ton of money to get the mitzvah. Ukamosha amru, like they say by tzedakah. A person should not spend more than 20% of his money on tzedakah. Afilu mitzvah veris, even if it is a mitzvah overis. You don't need to spend one third of your assets to buy a mitzvah. It doesn't tell us what you do need to spend. It tells us you don't need to spend a third. So Muha Gemara behaved the aims of the tenor for mitzvah. But post was given to Kokos Mishish Gamkin and Chuckleton. What about less than a third of my assets? It's not explicit in the Gemara, but the post would say you don't need to spend 30%, 25% on your assets either. So it's not clear how much you have to spend to go get the mitzvah. So, Chazal, the post can compare it to tzedakah. Why? I'm very generous. I want to give all my money to tzedakah. No, because then you're going to end up needing tzedakah. That's, you come first. You don't give too much money with tzedakah. What if your name is Elon Musk, you're the richest man, you have $300 billion? So most folks can say then the rule doesn't apply, because even if you give away 99% of your money, you still have so much money that you still can't spend all your money in your lifetime. So the rule doesn't apply. But for regular people, there's a rule not to spend more than 20% of your money on tzedakah. Shemaye, Ani may become poor, Yitzhakh Abiyas, and he'll need tzedakah, and we don't want it. Mishabu Sifkatam, yes, Yosef Mechomesh, Mechomakom. Chai votes at Kabar Easter and Achas of Azat, but he does have to spend up to 10% of his money to acquire the mitzvah object. The Gabbat tzedakah, Shir Beinani, whom I said, also by tzedakah, you're supposed to give 10% of your money to tzedakah. Now this is fascinating. Look what he says. The I am the lawyer of Rabbi Rav. The Kamo Shamli in Tzedaka Shanri Shanim and I carry me Kamech when I Rabbi Chagunami be your name. We're now talking, says the Magen Avraham. We're not talking about your net worth. We're talking about your income. Right? That's what he says. The first year there's the Karen, the principal. After that, it's the profit. How much of the profit do I have to buy tzedakah? I don't assess my net worth. I am worth $1 million. That used to be a lot of money. Nowadays, if you live in Yerushalayim, you have one little apartment, you're worth $1 million. 3 million shekels. So I don't have to assess my net value as $1 million and I go give $100,000 tzedakah, which of course I don't have, because I have an apartment. Right? You don't have to do that. On your income, he makes 100,000 shekel a year. Okay, so there's a very strong minig, even though it's not a halach, it's not a chiyuv, it's not an absolute chiyuv, a very strong minig, very worthwhile thing, very encouraged, strongly encouraged, to give one-tenth of one's earning, ma'isa k'saf, ma'isa t'saf. But it's not for my net worth, it's for my income. So he says it's the same thing over here. I'm giving income of a day, a month, a year, a week, like what's the getter? Not clear. Right? By tzedakah, okay, as it comes in, I give it out. I'm making, I get paid by week, if I get paid by month, whatever it is. So then I calculate the 10% and I give it tzedakah. Very nice. So how does that work over here? Is it what I'm going to make on Sukkot? I'm not supposed to work on Sukkot. Is it supposed to make Arab Sukkot? Is it the week before, the month before, the year? Like, how does it work? Not, doesn't sound so clear. Anyway, the poskim are not really so clear themselves how much you're supposed to be spending for a person who doesn't have any money.
Yeah,
that's what then this big bir halacha of Yosef Michomesh is the whole thing that the raya that they're bringing is really from that from a mitzvah overis. Because tzedakah is not a mitzvah that disappears. There's always a neem around to do the mitzvah tzedakah. Pasuk says, always being honey there to do tzedakah. So here, Tzukis is done. He will not come for another, 50 weeks. So it's a mitzvah overis. So maybe I should have to spend more money. So that's the whole discussion over here. Now here's the inspirational part of the Rama in my humble opinion. This whole discussion, how much you have to spend on a mitzvah abjag, 20%, 10%, is it your earnings, is it your net value, which we just said for the Magen Rabbah and the Eli Rabbah is not. That's dafka b'mitzvah saseh, avalo saseh. How much does a person have to spend before violating a negative prohibition? Yitain kol mamono. Kodim Shiavor says Ramah, a person has to be willing to give up all his money before violating one single lozasek. And Ramah says the same thing in Yeradeya Simin Kuf Nun Zayin. There is Hilchos Kiddush Hashem. So it gets swallowed up in all the big exciting halachas over there when a person has to give up his life. A Kiddush Hashem. But again, twice in Shulchan Aruch, Ramah says a person has to be willing to give up all his money before violating one losasin. Chavis Chaim brings it down, right. Before saying one word of Lashon Hara, which unfortunately many of us are not careful about, a person has to give up all his money. He doesn't fulfill the assay, right? We're talking about putting up a mezuzah or an esrog. How much does he have to spend? If he doesn't get the mitzvah object, he didn't do something actively against Hashem. It was a passive violation. He's passive. He didn't have the money. So maybe he's onus achon apachi. That's the discussion. But he's passive, so he's not obligated to give up everything. But when it comes to a lo saseh, he's actively violating the word of Hashem. He has to really to give up all his money. And then the poskim have a whole din. All the different, lashin takaseh or lavavon mechalaseh, all different types of borderline aseis and lavim, where there's not necessarily an act. No, sir. No, sir. There's no action. He sits down, he doesn't finish the carbon pesach, leaves it up until morning, he violated the lo saseh. He didn't do anything actively. So if he has to give up all his money, or the guy says, I'm not letting you eat unless you give me $1 million. No, so does he have to give $1 million in order to be able to eat, finish Korban Pesach, so he doesn't leave it up until morning? So that's the whole discussion, that how does it apply to all los essays, and, based on this svar, it sounds like only an active los essay. So the Dershu, footnote 17, discusses this. Even more relevant, perhaps, than the Korban Pesach, holding 2 weeks of Pesach. Less. By Rabbi Motze, how much do you have to spend to not violate, have chametz in your possession? The guy is forcing him to be over by Rabbi. So it's a low saseh by I didn't do nothing. I didn't get rid of my chametz. So Memela comes in Pesach and I'm over by Rabbi Motze. So it's so they bring up the Prima Gadim, since there's no action involved, you don't have to give up all your money. Rebbe Eger disagrees. He says, no. And I guess he has a different svara, whatever. He doesn't have this svara. If the svara is like the Mishmar says, only action, so it's only action lavim. There are plenty of non action lavim. So that's Machlokes, Prima Gadim, and Rebbe Kiva Eger. Okay, anyways, that's all discussion over here. How much a person has to be willing to give to them. What about mitzvahs d'rabbanan? Where do they, how do they play it? So there are a lot of want to say that mitzvahs d'rabbanan, a person also has to be willing to give up all his money. For mitzvahs d'rabbanan. That they bring down from Ramosha, Chavetz Chaim, Radbaz wants to say that every Issa Darabon is really a Losa Seik, because you have to listen to the Chacham. The Prima Gadim has a suffix, it's not sure. That's all discussion. So here in Bir Halacha, Dibur HaMaskil, I don't know what, page Kuf Chav Tes at the end over there. Okay, it's a whole discussion. We'll leave that for homework. That is Simat Tafresh Nun Chav.